From WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
Chancellor Mone, welcome back to the program. Always good to have you here.
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
Plenty to talk about today, everything from graduation to... But I think we should start with something that surprised a lot of people, probably including all the people in your School of Fine Arts. There was a major fire in the building, which was very unfortunate and really caused the whole school to kind of rethink a lot of things. What happened?
Well, you're absolutely right. It was a shocking event. It started on a late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. And, I'll give a lot of credit to Milwaukee Fire Department, Shorewood Fire Department, and others who really came to the rescue. But we essentially had an accidental fire. It started in the scene and stage setting room adjacent to the theater. And what that led to significant damage today, approaching $5 million, is in primarily the theater building. Of course, because the building's music and art buildings are all connected, we had significant smoke and dust. And what happens with the fire, as you probably know, is that there's the fire damage, and then there's the cleanup of all the adjacent, when the sprinkler system goes off and all of that. So the damage is significant. Music and art buildings are up and almost fully operational. The theater building has some limited access, but essentially we're looking at this as next year we're going to have a great new theater.
Forever the optimist. I guess one of the other things that if you want to look at the bright side of a story like that is one of the things that impressed me was how the community rallied together, especially the arts community rallied together to make sure that none of the programs were severely impacted.
I think this is a classic example of how sometimes you don't realize how you're paying it forward. And the arts community and beyond, let's start with on campus. We had to relocate 188 classrooms immediately, how the business school stepped up, how other colleagues on campus immediately rose to the occasion. But, one of the things that students work for all year long is the big end of the year play. In this
Sure.
case, it was Arcadia, Shorewood High School, the Milwaukee Rep, the Steinke Theater, how they contributed so much in terms of their offers. But frankly, across the state, we had people from Hong Kong calling and saying, can we contribute if their students need, if they've had instruments damaged, if they need one-time funds? We've had outpourings across the state, and you really understand how much part of the fabric of the community we really are. And it's just gratifying. It's so neat to see those wellsprings, the positives that come out of something like this, that we're so fortunate that we didn't have anybody hurt, and the damage is purely physical.
I mean, you never want something like this to happen, but the fact that it happened in a building that has, theatrical sets and the musical instruments, if it happens in a building with classrooms, that's easier to put back together. But this was a very complicated situation.
You're right, and we lost a lot of those materials, and that's why it's so amazing that so quickly we were able to rebound for the big annual production, and what you'll see at the Milwaukee Rep is a lot of work that's been done in less than 3 weeks to rebuild those stages and the costumes and all of that. This is a major, major production. Again, it's been like a year's worth of work to get ready for that and then to lose all of that, as well as all the other activities. And what some people don't know is that the Peck School of the Arts actually has 350 different performances a year that are in the community, and many of them are on campus in this theater, and they include not only plays, but live theater of all sorts of different types, from performance art to musical performances. We've got film showings and so many different things. But on average, it's every day almost we're putting something on. So there's a lot of volume of work that happens here, and this will be a busy summer for the reconstruction in the theater area.
I bet. Well, I did see the dean of the school the other day, and he was smiling again. So I think that's a good sign.
I give Scott Peck a tremendous amount of credit. Our Peck School of the Arts faculty and staff, they've really risen to the occasion, and the students have been marvelous through this.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of pat on the back, great recognition. And in face of tragedy, when you have that kind of positive, it does put a smile on your face.
Well, speaking about students, I saw recently in the new 2020 2017 UWM Research Magazine. We talk about how important research is to an institution like this, but one of the things that I was very impressed by was the involvement of the students in a lot of the research programs, and they were even featured at UWM Day at the Capitol. So really making a big deal out of this.
We have so many students involved in research, and it's such a powerful differentiator for our campus for students to participate in the research on the Rotunda Day, as you pointed out, where students and their faculty mentors can come over and showcase their work. We had a showcase demonstration that's actually an annual poster competition in the College of Engineering and Applied Science, where we have a lot of our students, frankly, about 90 student projects, sometimes individually, sometimes team, with almost 100 judges who represent a lot of times engineers and executives from the community who participate, and both the students and the business community members both. I spent a couple of hours there, actually more than that afternoon. It was just a wonderful day to have so many testimonials from the students saying, what a great thing it is to have this type of mentoring, this type of expertise, and then to have senior engineers from companies come in and tell me, your engineering student, he's a junior right now, and he's doing things that one of my five-year engineers, this is at one of Milwaukee's leading companies, okay, the largest in the state, is saying, I have an engineer, 5 years experience, this your junior student is doing things in physics, applied mathematics, and engineering applications. The rigor of our programs, the quality of that education, it just comes through. And so then we have the Wisconsin Science Olympiad, where you have the top high school students on campus presenting their research, and many of those are future Panthers. So a lot of great things for our students to experience that research opportunity.
When you go around and talk to people, whether they're legislators or possibly even alumni in the area, do you still get kind of the surprised look when you describe how ambitious the research agenda here is at UWM?
I think that achieving the Research One mantle, what we received last year in terms of that recognition to be one of the top 115 universities in the country out of 4,665, that helped a lot, our communication of that and really getting the word out. That said, I think there's always a risk, Dave, of research being seen as ivory tower, esoteric, doesn't apply to me. And so I have to, you know, continue to strive to talk about, you know, what are the applications when we think about this? What are the problems that we're solving? And I think about what you know, if you've ever had a family member with Alzheimer's and you think about one of the most debilitating aspects of that is the night agitation and how frustrating that is as a family member or a caregiver to not be able to do much. Well, we've received funds, and we're doing this as a collaborative to work on some of the cures and prevention of that. And this is life-changing to think about some of the examples that have impact here in Milwaukee in the environment. If you think about what our School of Freshwater Science is doing to make a difference that's opened up Bradford Beach because of some of our research scientists and graduate students who've been able to look at the sources of some of the pollution, remediate that, and bring Bradford Beach and South Beach of Milwaukee, a lot of these beaches back. Research at work all the time in the energy world, in water, in business, health especially, you know, so many incredible applications, as well as in the basic sciences, which gives them the applications, you know, that they have to come from that genesis.
Mm-hmm. I'm also impressed with faculty members who involve themselves in that level of research and the enthusiasm that they bring to these projects. It's not just an academic exercise. We've talked about, for example, Ann Basting receiving the Genius Award on a previous program and her passion for aging, for example.
Yeah, there was a wonderful story in the Journal Sentinel over the weekend that I've had more members of the community come forward and talk about. If this doesn't demonstrate how our students and faculty come together to make a difference, nothing will. Mm-hmm. I've shared this with executives at Direct Supply, which is a major provider of nursing care solutions and in terms of the building, the construction, as well as the things that they do in terms of information management and things. And this is a company that encourages their employees to get out and work in nursing homes, volunteering and things. And they understand this because, you know, if you look at the story, Anne has students who are actually embedded, living in nursing homes. Mm. And then one of the responses from one of the executives was, what if other colleges, what if other places could do this? Think about that. And what I was able to point out is that the neat thing about somebody like Anne Basing's work is that she has gone to scale with this. And so she has programs in different states. In fact, in Wisconsin, I think her work is in 53 different locations.
Wow.
She has many states in which, through her nonprofit work, she has got a remarkable scale. So when you work with a research university, you have somebody who lives and breathes and sleeps this and thinks about it all the time. They publish in leading journals so that people can learn and do these things. You know, we have one of our scholars, Dr. Christine Kovach, who's in residence. She's like a research director at the Milwaukee Jewish Home. And what she does is she works on changing the philosophy that when you go to a nursing home, every month you get another med. And by the end of the year, you're on 12 new meds. You came in with 10. And when do you ever back off? And so
sure.
She has this holistic approach to getting people, and it's physical, it's mental, it's just this approach. It's rejuvenating. And like Anne's work and others, it's just making a difference in the quality of life and the kind of thing we want for all our seniors, and,
sure.
and including myself.
Yeah. You know, I have to give a plug to a buddy of ours. I mean, our listeners hear Innovative Weather from UWM on our air, and the person who's really behind that and supervises that is a professor of atmospheric sciences, Paul Rober, who has done a lot of work himself on not only he doesn't create the forecast for Innovative Weather, but he's involved in some pretty heavy-duty forecasting tools.
You know, this is the power. You know, he's a mathematical science professor, and his tools have been used, and they're out forecasting the National Weather Service. They're out predicting. And wouldn't we all like to have, I mean, what's the chronic thing we can all complain about, you know, in terms of if it's not the weather, it's the forecast of the weather. And Paul's work and some of our colleagues at Innovative Weather are just doing remarkable things, putting us on that leading edge. And why that's practical is you work with utility companies, both American Transmission Company, We Energies. They're a couple that are very, very much engaged with this type of work. And that leads to contracts, and that's the kind of thing that becomes very important. You know, you'd be surprised how many different organizations are very dependent on weather, as well as us as you know, citizens.
Sure.
and individuals. Whether we run or ride or do other things, weather matters on a lot of fronts.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It's neat to be on the front edge of that.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's the work with the Milwaukee Institute for Drug Discovery, which I know, I mean, they're just really blazing the trail on a lot of things that could be really game changers for a lot of people in the future.
How many of us, if we think about the incidence of cancer, what are the statistics today? Men, at one point in their life, 1 in 2. Women, 1 in 3. It's in so many people's future. I talked earlier about Alzheimer. We think about asthma, ovarian cancer and brain cancer. Our scientists are working on early stage discovery for medicines that will be useful in all those different areas. Many that have gone out and today are in our use come from our Milwaukee Institute of Drug Discovery. So we've got great things, and I have to put our chemistry and biochemistry faculty on a pedestal with any program in the country or beyond. It's just remarkable, the quality of faculty. And again, it's that lab, it's that opportunity for students to learn and have tremendous careers. It also provides partnerships. If you think about the Medical College of Wisconsin, they started a new pharmacological program. Guess who they have opportunities to partner with in terms of the work that we're doing in chemistry, biochemistry, and drug discovery. So it's just great, great combination.
Mm-hmm. And so building upon those stories, if you will, I know that you've been making a lot of appearances, sort of making the case as the state budget advances for reinvesting in this type of work here at UWM.
We're on the road a lot. I've been in a number of cities where we have large alumni support. Obviously, there's the cities in Wisconsin. Chancellor Becky Blank from Madison and I recently spoke to the Milwaukee Rotary. We also spoke to the Madison Rotary. I've been in New York City recently. I've been in San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, Phoenix, a lot of great places, as well as visiting with all of our members of Joint Finance. Both Tom Lujak and myself really spending a lot of time working with individuals across the state. We've got wonderful support in the business and in other communities that has been rallied and growing, a new group called the Panther Promoters that are out doing things. when we had recently the research on the Rotunda and the research day, we had 30 alumni and business community members who went over and met with a number of legislators. So there's a lot of work going on. Both Chancellor Ford from UW-Parkside and myself testified in front of the Joint Legislative Joint Finance Committee recently. So we just keep that up. This is prime budget time, as well as everything else that happens this time of year. But this is hugely important for us too. No question about it.
Well, as you know, it was certainly my honor to introduce both you and Madison Chancellor Blank to the Rotary Club. And one of the things that I think was a very powerful message, and you could tell that the audience reacted to it in a very positive way, was that here you had the chancellors of the two research schools, arguably the two biggest schools in the University of Wisconsin system, on the same podium at the same day, talking about ways in which they work together. And I think for a lot of people, they lose that message. They think that Madison and Milwaukee are solid competitors, and the fact that you'd even share the stage with her would be out of the ordinary.
Well, I have tremendous respect for Chancellor Blank. I, as I said in my comments, we're very fortunate in this state for our flagship institution to have such strength of leadership. But our competition is friendly, and our collaboration is growing. And the work that we have to do together, and there's a lot going on behind the scenes. I can tell you about joint requests that we have in nursing, in engineering, and many other areas, some of the institutes and centers that we're building. Beyond the work that I've done historically, even before I was chancellor, having joint programs with Madison and executive education. For example, on-site, we deliver jointly for the Kohl's Corporation an on-site executive MBA program. These are life-transforming programs for individuals in these organizations. And importantly, they help keep the talent here. They help grow Wisconsin organizations, and we share those goals. We really do. And the reach between the two of us, if you think about that IQ corridor and bringing the largest cities in the state together, and if we can harness that, the state and its citizens are only beneficiaries of that.
And I would believe that legislators, corporate leaders, would appreciate the fact that, you know, the investment doesn't have to be made twice, that they can invest in the University of Wisconsin system or Madison or Milwaukee and know that you're going to have the best faculty from several campuses working on different projects.
Absolutely.
Example.
Absolutely. There's great synergies that can be obtained from having things that as large as both of our institutions are, there's still gaps, there's still holes, and there's a lot of research questions, there's a lot of societal problems, whether you look in the education sector, in healthcare, business, engineering applications that we need every idea that we can get. We need every student. You know, if you look at the looming labor shortages we have, especially in the smart jobs world, those that are in advanced healthcare occupations, those that are in business, supply chain management, the types of things that are happening in terms of discoveries in healthcare, really across the board, advanced manufacturing, we need to keep that talent. We need to work together to do that. And I think, you know, as we start thinking about Milwaukee, as our in terms of our national footprint and our reputation, I think we need to do a lot more and can do a lot more to keep the talent here, to have different identities. We have a great one in the water world. Why don't we have that in education? Why don't we become a magnet for that? How about in the technology world? How about in other sectors that really keep talent here, draw it in from, instead of the talent going to the Chicagos or to the Minneapolises, that really keep folks focused on what inarguably is the largest center that can drive this state, which is Milwaukee. Madison does a great job there, but we can really make a big, big impact if we work together.
Well, speaking loudly about the cooperative spirit between the two chancellors, you and Chancellor Blank, I loved her idea. At Rotary, she said, you know, that the challenge is to keep young people who want to live in the big city around, and she challenged the Milwaukee Rotary Club and the people there to say, let's host our graduates and our students to come to Milwaukee and see what a great place to live. So she was doing her part to talk up Milwaukee.
Yeah, and I'll do the same. When I'm in Madison, we've done co-presentations, and we do the same thing. I mean, there's great opportunities for our students. The key goal is let's keep them in Wisconsin, and let's have everybody rally together to build a stronger state that provides those opportunities. Dave, you and I are kind of self-serving and selfish in that way. We want our kids to have opportunities here. And my son is here. When my daughter graduates from Colorado next year, I want her back.
Mm-hmm. That's especially important when grandkids come into the picture,
trust
me.
There we go.
So we were talking about, obviously, you speaking before the Joint Finance Committee of the state legislature. I want to ask about one piece of legislation. There was some legislation that was introduced directing the Board of Regents to develop a policy on free expression. We talked about this on a previous show because UWM, for example, hosts a variety of speakers, some of whom are very controversial. What does this bill do, and is this a help to you, or what are they getting at?
You know, we have both in terms of our system guidelines and campus policies and you know, as I respect and look at the First Amendment, we absolutely uphold free speech, and I will do everything. And you know, in my time, just speaking from the philosophical and leadership perspectives that I have, if we can't have a campus that you have a diversity of ideas, where we have speakers from all different backgrounds, all perspectives, what good is a university in terms of an area and a place that you welcome and embrace differences of ideas? We need to have universities uphold that. And in my time, we've had speakers on the left, speakers on the right, and we've continued to provide the opportunities for them to be uninterrupted in their speeches, to be able to deliver their work. I think that the legislation, I understand where this is coming from. I've had a number of individuals in a variety of different backgrounds that have spoken on both sides of this, and what the bill seems to me to speak to is the concern about, you know, consequences for individuals who are disruptive. And Dave, we have consequences, we have policies, we do things right now, and so making it state law, I'm not sure if that's the right answer because of what we've already been able to do, and I haven't had any experiences where I've had problems with that, and I've been able to provide assurances of not just my perspectives, but what we've done and how we've ensured that we've had, whether it's when we've had presidential candidates as diverse as Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, or we have speakers that are as controversial as a Milo Yiannopoulos, we will continue to provide that venue for our campus to have those. Now, if there's disruption along the way, and if you have a state law that has mandatory sentencing and problems that we have to, the languages in the context of the jurisdiction of the campus, that puts me in a very difficult situation, and I could see lawsuits and our state being burdened tremendously by either if we don't enforce and enact what becomes statutory or if we do, either side here. So it puts, and I think every chancellor would share my view in the University of Wisconsin system, puts us, it really limits certain things and how we could handle this. We have disciplinary review bodies, we have policies, so let us do our thing and continue to ensure and assure the population and legislators of us doing the right thing.
So in the next couple of weeks, you will be going to another commencement ceremony, UWM's 116th commencement exercise at the Panther Arena. Highlights you're looking forward to?
Well, a number of them. First of all, this is the greatest time of the year for us to be able to celebrate and recognize the accomplishments of our significant students, our remarkable, talented faculty and staff that help them with these life-transforming experiences. So it's powerful, positive in that way. We have about 3,400 students eligible for graduation, and we have two great speakers in the morning. We've got Kimberly Motley. She's the feature of a recent film called Motley's Law. She's perhaps the only attorney from America practicing law in Afghanistan, protecting individual rights. And she's been notable for her remarkable work in terms of, in particular, helping women in Afghanistan who might not have legal protection. So she's remarkable that way. We have in the afternoon a gentleman, also an alum, both of these are our alum, named Avi Shaked. And Avi is the founder of Onward Tech and a graduate of our computer science program in the College of Engineering, and has had a remarkably successful career building businesses, successful entrepreneur, and he's been a great friend of the university in many, many different ways. So he's somebody who gives back in terms of scholarships and gives back with his time and spends time with our students. So these are both wonderful individuals. We've got Brian Stile as the regent speaker, and then from our Board of Visitors and Alumni Board, we've got some great representation. with Catherine Gilbert. So she's from the Alumni Association Board. She's a professor of dance and associate dean of the arts at Alverno. So these are some of the highlights.
Yeah. Other things that you've been involved in that you might want to highlight from your last month of travels?
Well, I've got some great travels. I know sometimes you like to hear about my recipes, and I'll tell
you. Well, yeah.
You know, just last night, chicken tikka masala.
See, but people don't know this, that you're a chef. You're a trained culinary chef.
I'll tell you what. I made some chicken mirabella recently that has, of all things, it's got some you know, you marinate this in lemon, olive, and wine, and then you've got apricots, figs, prunes, and you top this chicken right before you cook it with, believe it or not, about 12 pieces of chicken with a cup of brown sugar that crusts it really nice. Melts in your mouth to die for. It's really great. A lot of wonderful dishes going on.
So do you experiment, or do you like following recipes?
Well, you know, my adage sometimes is, if you're using a recipe, you ain't cooking, you know. So I get a little, I have a little fun with that. But I do a lot of creative cooking. But I generally start with recipes. And then over time, having been in the kitchen for a long time, I do a lot of fusion. I will blend things together. I might start with, like, the derivation might be three different recipes that I brought together. So I did the other night a salmon. You can start with like a soy maple recipe, but then I take a ginger soy recipe, and then I've got my own teriyaki recipe, and I'll fuse those things together and make just a fun, different kind of salmon. So lots of things like that are always going on, but the challenge is I don't have enough time in the kitchen, so I get a little rusty here and there.
You know, this is actually my next question. When do you do this? Because you're on the go almost every night, I imagine.
Yeah, there's a lot of events, and especially this time of year. So it's interesting, and you pointed out the travel. I try to combine sometimes. You know, I was in New York last week, and so I brought back some really great spices. There's a place called Spices and Teas, T-E-A-S-E. That's this place where I bought some tea back, but I especially brought back a bunch of new spices. So some great mixes, great rubs, and things like that. And I've been experimenting, having fun with those.
Mm-hmm. I was just in New York a few weeks ago, and the Uber driver took us through Chinatown and through all the markets there. And it was my greatest regret that I didn't have time to say stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't there something always you want to come back to New York for?
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of great things. But the cities this year, because of our 60th anniversary, have included, you know, Seattle, San Francisco, San Diego, Phoenix. I know others from our team have been to Tucson, Denver, places in Florida. I've been in New York, we'll be in Chicago, Minneapolis, and several other cities. And it's part of that rallying, part of that advocacy, a lot of great things. And so a lot of good momentum. We've been building some neat centers in the water world and this world around Internet of Things in the healthcare area, education, a lot of good stuff. So there's momentum on several fronts. There's always, I think, in today's world in higher education, there are headwinds. There are enrollment challenges, budget challenges. But all in all, UWM is maintaining its strength. We're 26,000 students, the most diverse campus in the state, making a huge difference trying to do that all the time. And this is the time of year where we get to celebrate that.
Well, one more cooking question. Do you clean up?
Oh, I do some. I do some. But my wife, Sarah, I give her a ton of credit. She is so good at that. And we both do a fair amount of the prep. But she's great with that. And I help. But she does tend to kind of use elbows to kind of move me aside at that point.
You know, if you ever want to experiment and, like, you know, bring a dish and talk about it while we're eating it in the studio, we would be willing to experiment here on the radio.
And I could have done that for today. I feel mighty bad. You happen to know where I was at beforehand and prevented a little bit of that. Dave, do it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mark. Always good to have you on the show, and we'll look forward to your visit again next month.
Thank you for having me, Dave. Appreciate
it. Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, has been our guest in conversation. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.